You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth Investment in Johannesburg. Wayne, it's results season in the United States of America. It's sort of trading update as a precursor to results season in South Africa. Lots and lots going on, yes. On here. What have you made of it? What do you want to do? Do you want to start with the international or the local scene? Because there's an awful lot to digest.
Yeah, look, I mean, so far there's been well, I suppose maybe there has been one that's come out quite bad, and that was Massmart.
Yeah.
But the rest of the updates are actually quite good. South African ones now, and overseas ones, in fact. You know, there's no shortage of earnings.
No,
higher interest rates haven't bitten yet.
No, they haven't. And when I look at the South African 10-year bond yield, as I do, it's at 10.35%. It was 11.12% not that long ago. Maybe some people are saying that perhaps interest rates will go a little bit higher, but the height that they will go to is already well defined. What do you think?
Probably, yes. I think people do understand that interest rates are going up. But we know the future of inflation is going to fall dramatically next year. Yeah. So I think the peak, look, there's a certain thing called a FRA curve, forward rate agreement, a forward rate account or agreement or something like that.
Yes, exactly.
That's supposed to predict what the market is discounting. Now, that is notoriously inaccurate. Okay. I've never actually known it to work properly, ever, to be honest.
I thought these bond traders were supposed to be actually cleverer than you equity traders, but clearly not from what you're saying.
I've never known it to work accurately predicted, but I think the market does discount probably another 1.5% or so in South Africa, I would think.
Hmm.
It's still going to go up by. But then as we've been, as I was saying, inflation is going to come down dramatically. Next year, in the second half, more than likely, and the market understands this, and I think the Reserve Bank also understands it. So the actual rate increases are more or less known. I mean, interest rates in South Africa, I suppose, on some sort of look-through basis, given the current environment, should be around, 4.5%, roughly. And I'm just calling up the actual plot here.
Okay.
Sorry. What am I talking about? Not 4.5%. Should be about 6.5%, given where inflation is, and that's about another 1.5% to go. Maybe it'll go up to 7%. And we'll have to. But I think that's about all. Because inflation's going to fall probably, it could even go as low as 3% by the end of next year, simply because of the base effects and the reversals and a couple of negatives on food and oil, and then interest rates will be cut again.
Yeah, and I think it might be sooner rather than later. I really believe so.
It could easily be, yes.
Okay, there's FRA traders you talked about, as you say, the forward rate agreements, which are used as a barometer by many economists. As you say, they're not always right, but in this instance, maybe they are. Now, if you have a look at the US markets today, for example, this is the silly season. What are we now? August the 3rd. And the S&P, as we speak, is up around about 2/3%. It says here, better than expected economic data lifted stocks. The ISM, that's the Institute of Supply Management's Non-Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, released today, showed a surprise rebound. And during normal times, people would say, okay, yes, it's important. The services sector of the United States economy is very important. But it wouldn't be assigned such significance. I just think people and journalists are a little bit bored at the moment. I think it's that time of year in the Northern Hemisphere.
It could easily be, to be honest, but I don't think this equity market correction is over yet. And we might be having some sort of bear market rally here.
Yeah.
But I don't think the correction is over yet. I think we're having a respite a little bit, but I don't think it's over yet. I think there's still a little bit more to come. And as you know, we've been speaking about this extensively internally.
Yes.
And for what it's worth, we think
it's just a bear market.
Okay. That it is just a bear market, really, and we'll have to see how it goes, you know, from here. But yeah, that's where we are.
Is that a house view then? Would you say? I mean, obviously these comments are not for publication or anything, but you speak to people on a daily basis. But what you're saying is that the consensus is maybe be a little bit cautious about this bounce. It's not a dead cat bounce because the cat isn't dead, but on the other hand, it's not alive and kicking yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, from this level, maybe another 10 or 15% maximum downside from here. So it will be relatively shallow, if you want to call it that, bear market. I don't think we're going to lose 40% as in other bear markets.
Hmm.
But a good 25, 30% I would think will probably be justified. And then the economic slowdown, I think, will be very, very mild. You know, the U.S. is in recession. I mean, it's had two negative quarters, even though I know there's a whole long story about how you define a recession, and there's a whole committee and a bunch of people who decide what they're going to actually do, whether they're going to call it a recession or not. But it is in recession, but it will be mild. You know, I don't think that this is going to be earnings or an economic a bear market. It's just going to be a ratings bear market.
Okay. But the market just seems to be shrugging it off. And when you have a look at the US stocks that have come out with results in the last couple of weeks, they haven't been bad at all. They've actually been rather good. And even if they were bad, people say, well, we're expecting that, so let's just get on with it, because the forward-looking statement is actually not incredibly encouraging, but it's not negative either. So you've got the US. What about the South African earnings season, which is upon us? And you mentioned Massmart. They came out with a trading statement. I think was it yesterday or the day before, and the share price at one stage was down 8% or something like that. This company is just mired in negativity and has been for so long. When are they going to get it right?
Yeah, they are doing significant restructuring.
Yeah,
they've got some incredibly successful businesses. Builders Warehouse is a phenomenally successful business, even though it has come off that very, very high peak they saw during lockdown, where every man of the house was told to fix the flaking paint and the leaking toilet and the squeaky door. So they did phenomenally well during lockdown.
Mm.
So it's off that base, but it's still a really good business. Macro is also a very, very good business.
Yeah,
I mean, Macro is the only shop that I've ever been into where I abandoned my trolley because the queue was just too long to try and get out.
Don't you buy your clothes from there as well? Is it Macro?
I buy virtually everything. I buy my clothes from Macro and Pick and Pay clothing.
There we go.
Not like Shapiro. Shapiro only buys from branded names.
Well, he goes to New York and Australia and places like that and buys, as you say, he buys branded things. He won't buy anything unless it's got a badge on it. Yeah, exactly.
He's a very natty dresser, is our Shapiro.
Very natty.
He's a very, very natty dresser. Very natty dresser. Very trendy guy. Because whenever you mention fashion brands and that, Shapiro knows them all, and he's been to the shops and, you know, beauty and fashion and luxury good items. He knows it all.
But more seriously, he invests in luxury goods companies as well. I mean, Ferrari is his favorite. I don't know if you saw Ferrari's numbers. I think it was yesterday they came out. They're selling more ridiculously expensive cars than they ever have in their life. They are doing extraordinarily well. I think like Hong Kong, I think that was that region. Hong Kong was one territory that they spoke of. And I think they doubled the amount of cars that they sold in this period from the previous comparable period. So, he likes he's like a magpie. He likes his shiny things. But on the other hand, I think it's served him and his clients quite well.
Yeah, it has. It certainly has. But then Massmart, you know, they've got rid of a couple of the underperforming stores, underperforming brands that they had, and they're restructuring Game. They're closing a lot of Game stores and they're repositioning Game in the marketplace.
Yeah.
So when you look at their numbers and you take the continuing stores, in other words, the continuing operations, the turnover on a like-for-like store-for-store basis actually wasn't that bad, but they've been squeezed heavily by cost increases.
Okay.
So their margins came under quite severe pressure, in fact.
Okay, so there's not all retailers in South Africa are created equal. Massmart has been a standout underperformer. But what about the other ones? What about the Shoprites and the Woolies and the Spars, et cetera, that have also, some of whom have come, or some of which rather, have come out with updates? What do you like at the moment, post-lockdown, post-pandemic?
Well, look, the Woolworths were a little bit disappointing, but that was mainly attributable to the lockdowns in Australia. The Woolworths food side disappointed me a little. I think they're losing a bit of market share when it comes to food, especially with the online delivery and that, because literally I used to go to Woolworths once a week and go and shop.
Yeah.
Whereas now with Checkers 60-60, you go to Woolworths once a month and go and shop. So I think I really do think that they are losing out a little bit on that, because.
So you sit at home and you order it and it comes to your house, or you and your partner do
beep, beep,
whatever.
Beep beep, and it's in the little scooters there. Even at my garage, if I need coffee or milk or whatever, and we're running a bit low, I don't have to get in my car and go to the shop and do it. I just go check a 60-60, and before tea time, it's here.
So
it works extremely well.
You don't think like me, you'll become an agoraphobe. In other words, everything's so easy that you, when you do think you have to go out somewhere, you say, well, wait a second, this is a bit scary. I haven't been to Woolworths for a month, and I've got to go there. You're not that sort of person.
No, not at all. I actually quite like going shopping.
Hmm.
And I quite like to go shopping at Woolworths, because Woolworths does bring out quite a few new items that you want to go and peruse and have a look at and buy it. And I actually made a mistake the other day. I was dying. It's turned a little bit cooler here over the last few days in South Africa.
Mm.
And I thought a Malva pudding would just be delicious on a cool evening.
Okay.
So I go look in the fridge at Woolworths and I see Malva pudding and I buy it.
Right.
And I go home and I have a closer look, and it was a vegan one.
What's wrong with that?
And it wasn't good.
Oh.
It didn't taste. It
didn't have the dairy, creamy texture that you're used to.
So it wasn't a huge success, to be honest.
Okay, well, that was you just not looking at the label.
I just saw Malva pudding, and I took it. When I got home and I was taking the label off to stick it in the oven, I saw it was vegan, but I thought, look, I'm going to chow it. I'm going to try it.
Of course.
Look, it wasn't that awful that I didn't finish my bowl.
Of course not.
But I didn't go back for seconds, which I would normally do with Malva pudding, then go back until there's none left, of course.
Look, Wayne, you grew up with your mother, who wasn't a great cook, so anything that is half decent, you will always eat it up. I mean, you're like a wartime child, where, you know, you've got your rations, you have to eat everything, your plate must be licked clean. What's that phrase, a Dickensian phrase or rhyme that says, Jack Sprat could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean, just between the two of them, they lick the platter clean. You're one of those people.
Yes. I'm not a fussy eater. There's a couple of things I won't chow.
For example,
anything like tripe or pig trotters or walkie talkie or sheep head and that, I won't chow it. I just will not chow that. Otherwise, I'm not really a big vegetable person. I quite like cauliflower. In fact, I do like cauliflower. I like carrots. I like peas. I like potatoes. They're also vegetables.
Well, not really, but anyway.
Potatoes are vegetables. They are.
They are, technically.
So they are vegetables. So in other words, I do like vegetables because I really like potatoes. And Woolworths, I must say, they've got a new range of potato chippies that they keep the skin on.
Oh, yeah.
And it comes out so crispy. It's actually very, very tasty. But Brussels sprouts I don't like, even though my dog loves Brussels sprouts.
Okay. You've got a dog that because likes Brussels sprouts. That must be quite interesting in the evening after he's digested those.
Yes, it is. We won't go any further on
no,
that.
No, we won't. Yes, we won't do that.
It is sometimes quite interesting. And he's not at all perturbed about it. He just carries on sleeping there. That doesn't worry him at all, in fact.
The food story
2 weeks in a row now, my local place I go to for Sunday lunch every day had Christmas in July 2 weeks in a row. So we had Christmas in July 2 weeks in a row. And one of the things they've put on there is Brussels sprouts. So my dog has had Brussels sprouts 2 Sundays in a row.
All right.
But I must say, the actual meal itself, Christmas in July, the meal was astonishingly good. I'm not a turkey fan, but they do turkey. It's so succulent. It's tender. So we had ham. We had gammon, turkey, stuffing, roast potatoes, vegetables, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, peas, and then we had Christmas pudding with custard. 2 Sundays in a row. It's fantastic.
Very good. You must be looking forward to Christmas now, but your taste will probably be different because the climate has changed. Talking about potatoes, I don't know if you've ever seen a series with Ricky Gervais called Afterlife. But in Afterlife, one of his colleagues, who's a portly fellow, let's put it that way, he's generous in his proportions, he sits and eats all day. And Ricky Gervais's character says to this chap, you know, do you eat your 5 vegetables a day, your 5 portions of vegetable and fruit a day, which is apparently recommended for people like you and I of advanced years. And he says, yeah. He said, well, what do you have? He says, I have 5 portions of potatoes. I have chips. I have potato chips. I have a baked potato, etc. And it goes on like that. So you're one of those people, are you?
No, I'm not a huge potato. I mean, I do like potatoes, but I don't think I overeat potatoes. When we have chips at night time, because last night we had chips.
Oh, yeah.
Because last night we had the most delicious spatch-cooked chicken from Woolworths. You buy it. It's called Moroccan chicken. You take it out. You put it in the oven for 30, 60 minutes, however long. You carve it and you eat it. And it is, I mean, it's truly, truly delicious. And it's such a quick. There's no preparation. You just put it in the oven and carve it afterwards, and it is delicious. And I had chips with that. But I always got 3 or 4 chips left over on my plate. I never finished my whole allocation.
Well, that's a very Chinese thing to do because, for example, the next time you go to Beijing, if you go to not to a restaurant but to someone's home, you know, it's a potential client in Beijing, and you sit there and you have food with the Chinese family and you eat everything, that's considered to be an insult because what it says is that they haven't given you enough food.
Given you enough, yeah.
You have to leave a little bit every time, even if you're still hungry. So you're one of those people, are you? That's interesting.
I don't actually, there's normally a couple of chips left over, but at the moment I'm going through, I think we discussed this the other week, a complete peri-peri chili hot sauce phase.
Oh, gosh, don't.
I'm just using more and more chili, and it's actually delicious. Our domestic worker went up to Limpopo for her annual holiday,
right,
and she came back with a bottle of locally produced chili sauce for me, and it is totally delicious.
You like the convenience part. You like to get something that you can just bung it in the oven. That's a consistent theme with you.
Yes.
And
Yeah. Have you ever tried this, going to your local butcher? I don't know if there's a local butcher, but you go there and get a delicious free-range chicken and say to him, spatchcock this chicken for me. And they will do that. And everything. They take the bone out of the middle and everything. And you get one of those zippy bag things, those plastic zip bags or whatever, and maybe get some peri-peri sauce with the Nando's brand on it or whatever brand you prefer and marinate it for like 24-36 hours in there and then put it on the braai or in the oven. You don't do that. You just buy it and bung it in.
I just buy it already done because that's essentially what the Woolworths one is. This. So this is a Moroccan one. They've also got a peri-peri one, which is delicious.
Okay.
But on Saturday,
yes,
I decided that's it. I am having a braai place with a proper charcoal fire. And it was delicious with one small caveat, and it's been the case now for a while in South Africa, and I don't know if it's a case worldwide, but the lamb we're getting here isn't as good as what it used to be. It's a little tough. I mean, it's still delicious, but it's a little tough, and I've noticed this now a couple of times when we've had lamb cutlets. It's... Excuse me.
Bless you. There we go.
I've been sanding, so I've got dust up on us.
Of course you have.
I'm actually covered in dust, yeah. But the lamb's not actually as good as what I recall. It's like a little bit tough, but that didn't deter me from having a charcoal braai, no matter how cold it was. So I had some thin boerewors and some lamb chops in there. It was good. Yeah.
Wayne's got dust up his nose. Wayne, when I first moved to South Africa, there was a delivery service when I lived, I think it was in Parktown North in Johannesburg. There was a delivery service, a company that would deliver you half a lamb, half a karua lamb, and it would come in a beautiful brown paper packaging, etc. And you would get the chops and the leg and the shoulder and everything like that, and it was absolutely delicious. Do they not do that anymore? Because you sound as though you're not getting it from the right sources.
I don't actually know. I'm actually going to try and find out. I've just been buying it at Checkers or Woolworths or wherever. I must actually find out if someone is doing Karoo lamb, because every time we go to Cape Town,
yeah,
we stop at Colesberg,
yes,
at a little bed and breakfast place there, and walk across the road to the same restaurant. And for the life of me, I can't remember its name, but it's an old house. Well, it's not an old house. It's a house that's been converted into a restaurant. So as you walk in, what was the lounge is now the pub, and then you go down to wherever the dining room. They've got quite a big dining room there, maybe 8 or 10 tables, and you order there. And every time I go there, I order lamb. Now, it's in the Karoo, so I assume it's Karoo lamb. But it is delicious. You know, roast lamb, it is totally delicious.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite meats. When you managed to distract me, I was going to ask you about food to conclude this discussion, but now we'll have to conclude it on less important matters, i.e. the markets. You don't think that they've bottomed? Because I was speaking to a very well-known commentator yesterday. What's today? Wednesday. Yes, yesterday. And he put forward the idea that perhaps it has bottomed. It may not spike up, but it may have bottomed. And
look,
this particular organization was buying.
It could have bottomed.
What do you think?
Yeah, it could very easily have bottomed. And as we've spoken about, and as I've said to you on many, many platforms, that if you buy shares now, you'll probably be quite happy with your decision in 3 years' time. But I still think there's downside from here. So, in other words, I'm saying the market's not bad then, but I would still be a little bit cautious and hold off. But if I was forced to make a decision today and I couldn't make another decision for 3 years, I would buy shares.
Okay.
Even though I still think there's downside.
So, if somebody said to you, okay, Wayne, we're going to send you abroad on a fact-finding mission on behalf of F&B Wealth and Investment, you've got to do something in the next couple of days, I want you to put your portfolio together, you would buy and you would come back in 3 years and you'd be happy. Is that what you're saying?
Probably yes, yeah.
Okay, good. Wayne, thank you very much for your time. As always, that's Wayne McCurry, Portfolio Manager at F&B Wealth and Investment, and that was Wayne on Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position,
or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.